This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch. I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Today we're going to be discussing the two games that we had over the Easter period, the Harrogate a home game, the Stockport away game, and then we're going to discuss set pieces. So why are we so bad at penalties? Our free kicks and corners have not been great. And have we changed the way we played since Bournemouth's been brought in and we go with the long throws more often than not? Then we'll discuss Josh Davison. Is he harshly treated by the fans, or do they have a point regarding himself and not being either a good player or a bad player? And then we'll preview the big game on Saturday against Salford and we'll ask the question, should we change it up now? The playoffs are pretty much out of reach. Play more youth team players or go look for next season? Or is there four games left? We should be trying to win them all and sneak into them playoffs. But let me introduce our guest, the one and only Mr. Baker. Danny, how are we? We good?
I'm absolutely terrific. School's out for Easter. What? Done a little bit of, I know, exactly. Tell me about it. Done a bit of cricket. Enjoyed Easter. Best Easter egg? Have you got one? I mean, I'm a Snickers man through and through, but I didn't get one.
Snickers, rubbish, mate.
Don't be so stupid.
Awful egg.
Absolutely fantastic.
I like these new ones that they've got the inclusion.
Oh, eggs. Yeah, you like these inclusion. Oh, God.
No, they're a big. So I got
I don't even want to hear it.
I like a Yorkie it, biscuit and raisin chocolate bar normally.
Yeah, that is
but
fantastic.
Now,
yeah.
You get the egg, but you get the biscuit and raisin inside the egg as well. So it's all.
Do you know what? I just.
So
I
now
actually,
you're
going to
start. Yeah, backtracking.
No, not backtracking again. After Johnny Jackson listened to the podcast last week and backed me, which I appreciate, Johnny. Thank you. I'm not being funny, right? I've been watching football for ages. I think it is possibly the best football league season ever. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
All four divisions are absolutely outrageous.
Only now.
League One is a bit... Premier League, at the bottom, it's a bit quirky.
You're talking rubbish.
I'm not talking rubbish. The top
you know
of the
why?
Premier League is the best Premier League
no,
finish
did you see
in
Arsenal?
Ages.
Did you see the Man City Arsenal game the other day?
Yeah.
It was so rubbish. It was so boring.
That's a game. We're talking about the whole season.
Yeah, I'm talking
There's
about
nine
now,
games to go. They're
yeah,
all
now,
right on top of each other.
Once it gets to the
three in
the,
it.
Once it gets to the last 10 games, it
which
gets
it is now.
It gets interesting. Or it can
but
get
it is,
interesting.
So
sometimes,
I've just said it.
Usually Man City don't make it very interesting, but this year I think they're giving everyone a little head start because they know they can turn it on when they want and they'll still win the league. I watched the Ipswich Southampton game the other day. That was an amazing game. But
exactly.
Other than that, football is boring.
Oh, Mate, what is going on? It's a fantastic.
The last 10 games is wicked, but I'm usually...
It's an absolute... I think this is genuinely, when I look at the league tables and stuff, Premiership, I think it's in a really wicked place. The bottom isn't as exciting as it can be, but it's pretty good. Championship is wicked. Down the bottom, at the top, it is chaos. League One is probably a little bit so-so. League Two, I think, is pretty good. I think it's quite exciting.
Boring.
And the conference is... Well, boring. Do we count that? I don't know.
Well, again, that's boring. Chesterfield already won the league, mate, with 10 games to go.
At the top, I agree. And but then again,
the conference
is also weird when there's about 15 teams in it.
Get into the playoffs. And it goes on to about July.
It's like, right, the second and third teams, they're guaranteed home games. Then it's fourth and fifth, sixth and seventh.
Oh,
and I was like,
mental,
what is... Like, literally, I was looking at it, the amount of teams that are involved.
And they think it's a good thing, because the team who finishes second gets, like, a home tie in the semi-final. But they have to wait, a week or two. Ages.
Well, they have... Because fifth and... What was it? Fourth and seventh, I've got to play their two legs.
Yeah.
And then they go to that team and that team. Their team are rusty.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's crazy. It's a farce.
You're lucky if you finish just in the playoffs then, because you might get a bit of form. But yeah, we were looking at who might come down, who might go up, kind of thing, who's going to be in League Two next year, trying to plan where we're going and the games I've never
all
been to.
Altrincham's got to be the one we fancy, isn't it?
I do fancy Aldershot.
Aldershot will be right. Barnett, apparently, Hartigan has won all of their player of the year.
Yeah, apparently he's been mustered down there. But he's found his level, isn't he?
Yeah, I totally agree. With a little bit of space, no pressure on the ball, and a place where he can just stand there and just ping passes, I think he'd be fine. I actually think he'd be right in League Two, to be honest.
Robbo,
I think
made
the way
a point.
Go on.
And I'll give him it. Some players do mature at different ages, and they become a better player. Some, obviously, a football, you can't wait for them to get to that age sometimes, and they get released. Look at Jenkins at Chelmsford. We released him last year, and he's flying at Chelmsford. He needed to go and play games, play every week. He's doing it. He got in the England C team and now looks a really... And now League Two, League One teams are looking at him. Same with Hartigan. He struggled at Mansfield. He didn't struggle with us, but not a lot of people fancy
him. Would you have him in our squad now, Hartigan?
I'd have him possibly over Ball. They're very similar players.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have him over Reeves and Little, would you? So
I think I definitely would have Reeves and Little, but I think Hartigan versus Ball would be quite... If we're playing the way that we're playing, then I think, unfortunately...
People like Mitch Pinnock.
Yeah, he's been good.
He split the fan base a little bit. People loved him. Some people didn't think he was good enough. He's gone to Northampton. I'd have him over Tilly, Nerfield, possibly.
At the moment, I like
Nerfield, but Nerfield's, to me, becoming more of a defensive player than he is attacking player nowadays. And he doesn't give assist or goals, so that's a struggle. But yeah, I don't know if the league, as I said, we were looking at who's got, like, Carlisle being there and might do it again, but I've never been Chesterfield.
Went to Chesterfield and there was aggro at the game. We lost it, I think, a couple of, but you know all about that. So we went to that game. It was relatively new in their new ground. Barnet, from a new ground perspective, Altrincham would be good. Solihull Moors would be good.
Yeah, I like a bit of Solihull.
Been to Aldershot.
Yep, I'd like it because it's close. Aldershot and Barnet, you ain't travelling miles.
But the interesting with Aldershot, whether they keep Tolage, that'll be the one that'd be interesting, because I presume that he's off, but they've obviously had the player that they sold to Coventry.
But like teams coming down, I've never been to Cheltenham. I've never been to Port Vale. So these are the ones I'd be looking at.
You're going to absolutely chalk it right up.
Well, hopefully. You know what I mean? So, yeah, if the missus allows.
She'll be fine.
Well, like Swindon. I can't go to Swindon next week, unfortunately. We'll talk about that next week's pod.
Right, well, let's talk about the weekend then. So, Harrogate and Stockport, a northern conquest. Great, that was actually a very, very good history
Harrogate.
Pun there.
Yeah, awful. Harrogate.
Is it Harrogate or Harrogate?
Harrogate, I think it is.
Harrogate. Yeah, I'm with you.
First half was one of the worst. Again, we say this quite a bit. One of the worst halves of football I've ever seen. Thought we were horrendous. yeah, it weren't great first half. Second half, I'm not sure what people are seeing. I'm not sure what Johnny Jackson saw when he came out and said we were brave and he was proud of us and all this. So I thought Harrogate, even after we went down to 10, I thought they were horrendous second half, and we could have made them pay, but we didn't. I thought the subs, what is it? I think he left Kelly Davison on the bench as well, so we didn't really bring any strikers on. Curtis's red card, I've seen this spoke about a lot.
What did you make of it?
At the time, I thought it was a yellow because we didn't see the angle behind. So I thought it was yellow. It was a late challenge. And I thought, yeah, it was a yellow. No one really, their players didn't go mad. No one really knew what was going on. Ref then decided to send him off. Seen it from another angle at proper speed. It's high. It's reckless. Seeing it slow down, obviously, it makes it look worse. But yeah, I can see why the ref's gone. That's a red card.
I think from the referee's angle, I can definitely see why he gave it a red.
Yeah.
But I'm not, personally, I think the red card stood. What I'm a bit confused about is why it's a 3-match ban over a 1-match ban. Because normally, 3-match ban is for dangerous conduct. I don't know if that's dangerous conduct.
The problem is, I think it's in the law. I haven't got the law in front of me, but the law kind of states, it kind of does go under the dangerous contact mark, like the 2.1 or something, because he's higher than you want to be. I don't think he needs to make the challenge, if I'm being honest. The guy's going nowhere. I don't get why players dive in like that in the middle of the park where there's nothing going on. You're just giving the decision to make. I thought the ref was poor again, to be fair. But on that decision, I don't think it's as bad as people were saying when they were saying it was like one of the worst decisions they've ever seen, because he is just above the ankle, which is a high challenge. And it doesn't need to be made. And footballers wind me up when they're diving in between the halfway line and their box. I don't get it, really. There's no point diving in.
I think the thing that frustrates me with the whole Curtis conversation is, in a nutshell, he just summed up exactly what he's about. Like, first half, quiet as a mouse. I didn't think he did a lot. I think he tried to impact, but I just don't think he's got the legs for it. But he knows how to score a goal. The bloke knows where the goal is. And arguably on Monday, if he's on the pitch, he's taking that penalty and I'm backing him to score every minute. So it's kind of that, it's a really challenging one with Curtis. I just don't see him starting. I just think he's a much better half an hour to go and impact this game of football. But I'm struggling with the Jackson way of thinking, because he's talking about we've got to win games. I don't feel like he's set up to attack. So trying to think about Jackson, is he thinking the only way we can win a game is keeping it really tight? So for instance, the tactics against Stockport were probably right. In the fact of tough game, let's keep it tight. Let's make it really difficult. We'll play for a set piece. We'll keep it tight. And with half an hour left, with 20 minutes to go, maybe, depending on the situation, we'll have a go.
Yep.
But against Harrogate at home, he kind of adopted the exact same tactic. And I don't think he's got the fluidity, which is weird, because he obviously has changed his tactics a number of times in the season. We had the sort of the 4-5-1, and then we've gone into wing-backs now. So he obviously can, but what he kind of likes to have a tactic and stick with it. Mm. And I feel like on Saturday, the Barmer conversation is an interesting one, because as soon as he's on the pitch, we just literally throw everything in the box and kind of almost play for the knockdown. Now, there were times, to be blunt, where, you know, we scored, frankly, from one with Curtis. But in general, it just seems to be we don't really have the personnel to function with that. We don't go, you know, Pell's not available. Let's go Ball. Let's go Sasu. Let's go all these really tall giants and play it. So I do get a little bit confused by it, but I'm with you. I don't really get the rhetoric behind Jackson saying, oh, you know, we attacked, it was great. We went down to 10 men. We battled. We tried to score. They could have nicked it at the end. We did chuck some stuff at it. We were in some good positions, but I think it's a little bit naive that what Jackson said didn't, in my opinion, correlate to the game.
Yeah, and that's what I think frustrates myself and frustrates a lot of Wimbledon fans after the games when you hear the interviews. The questions, to be fair, are not very good when they're asking questions to Johnny Jackson. They don't ever, there's no insight to what he's done during the game and why he's not brought on any strikers. Do you know what I mean? Why our attacking options have not been brought on until last minute. And I know, obviously, Curtis getting sent off changes the way you think, but you still got Gordon on the pitch who wasn't really doing anything. Do you know what I mean? And then Omar, who's just come back from Australia, looked knackered, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he did look leggy, didn't he?
He looked tired, and you still kept him on up front as well. And again, is it the reason why Little and Reeves are not playing in the squad at the moment? Is because they've been overplayed all season. We've not used ball enough for me. Ball, I thought, was really poor on Friday, even though on Monday I thought he was good. I thought he was poor against Harrogate. I thought he gave the ball away a little bit more than he should have done. Didn't really get forward enough. But again, you're not playing. You're playing in a number of different positions over the season, not really got any consistency. It's gonna go against you if you're coming in and playing games. But I thought we could have attacked Harrogate. I thought they were not a great side when second half. But again, to say you're proud of the players after just drawing 1-1 with Harrogate when you're meant to be winning games if you're going to get in the playoffs. Yeah, and I think you're right with the formations and the tactics. They work away from home. I said this about Notts County. I was quite happy with the way we played at Notts County because it was, even though Notts County are not great this season and they're on a bit of a bad run of form, they score goals, Notts County, and we kept them to nothing away at their place with the two best strikers and two best players in the league. And it works. It works away from home. Stockport, it nearly worked. You know what I mean? We could have won that game 1-0 if Tilly scored the penalty. We'll come on to that later. But And they're a team, Stockport, are free-flowing. They've been scored 8 goals, I think, in the last 2 games. Yep. So, I mean, they beat MK 5-0 the other week, or 5-1, I can't remember, but they scored 5 against them.
Yeah, 5-0.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So they're scoring goals. We kept them to, what, 1 or 2 shots? I can't remember Bass having a real save to make.
No.
So that's great away from home, but at home, we struggle, and we struggle against the teams that are not that good. So we've beaten Mansfield this year. I think we should have possibly beat Stockport either at home or away this year. Yep. We beat MK. We've beaten. We should have beat Wrexham first game of the season when we played them.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? So we can beat these good teams in this league and we can compete with them. But then when we play at home against the Suttons, the Forest Greens, the Grimsbys, the Doncasters, and then, well, Doncaster on a great run of form at the moment, so that maybe not a great example. But who is it? And Harrogate's. I don't know what happens. We play like we're playing.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's the fact that those teams are coming to attack? They're looking to win, which then means that we can counter. Have we become like a very big counter attack team, do you think? But we don't really have
teams, they don't really attack though. They don't attack us though. That's the problem. They sit back and think, oh, we'll come for a point. We don't want to get opened up. And then we're sitting there going, we don't want to get opened up. And it's boring.
That's what I mean though, the better teams. And again, this is the conversation around those wins though. Mansfield, very last kick of the game, could have easily lost that, by the way, at home. MK, exactly the same, last kick of the game. I guess the challenge is that we've almost, and again, different teams playing different ways. I don't think we're a bad football team. And bizarrely, I don't think Johnny Jackson's a bad manager at all. I'm going to change the rhetoric around it a little bit. But what I would say is that looking at Jackson's head, I'm just thinking he must be looking at the fact that we've got very, very little attacking prowess. And he probably looks at his cards and go, the way that we're going to win this game of football is being very, very difficult to beat. And if we can nick a goal, that's how we're going to win it. The challenge is, realistically speaking, we need to be in a position where we can score multiple goals. We can score 2, we can score 3. We're currently not playing in that way. And we lack a real major central forward who is able to provide us with that option, because at the moment it's Boogiel and often he's a bit deeper.
Yeah,
well, or we go long and he needs to flick it on and there's no one to hit it to.
But that's what we've done to Boogiel. I don't know what Boogiel was like at Sutton or stuff, or did he play that deep for Sutton, but he's come to us as a number 10 and he had Ali and them two work together. He doesn't seem to work well with Kelly and he doesn't seem to work well when he's got the two beside him. We play some nice football, but usually we just go long. And Gordon and Curtis ain't going to win your headers, and Omar does, but then there's no one close enough to get near him. I just think that now, I think that Johnny and the management team are looking at it and thinking, we're not ever going to be in the playoffs, and we're probably not good enough to get to the playoffs, but we have to comment that we are going to get to the playoffs. You know what I mean? They have to have that out in the open that, yeah, we're trying our best to get to the playoffs, knowing that probably we're not. But he also then, on the other hand, don't want to go at teams, get beat, say, 4-0 at Stockport on Monday. We lose 1-0 to Harrogate because we went after them. And then you slowly drop down the table and we end up finishing 15th and 16th. And this is what I said on the debrief on Sunday, is I'm going to rate the season. I can't rate it right now because everyone's going, oh, it's good season at the moment. At the moment it is. But if we finish after Walsall and we finish 15th, I think that's a poor season that we've had and something that has to be looked into. But if we finish 9th or 10th, possibly 11th at the end of Walsall, I think everyone can turn around and go, we've had a good season. It's an improvement last. We have players in place now that will sort us out for next year. We'll get rid of a lot of the dead wood. There'll be a lot of wages there. Cope can go do his thing. We can bring a better squad in next year and really push for promotion. But the players in the club are never going to say, we don't want to go for the playoffs. We're not good enough. And I think that's the problem. Johnny Jackson is worried that if we start losing games, because he's gone for it and he's trying to play the exciting football that the fans want, we start losing games. Say we lose the next four, we finish 14th, 15th. There will be people that are shitting the bed. I think we're trying to be hard to beat, so we're not conceding goals, and then trying to nick 1-0, 2-0 win. And we've had a couple of hard games, to be fair, and we've done all right.
Well, I can't disagree with you. Like, if you look at the league table as it is, right, if Walsall have got two games in hand, same points. So they get 1 point, we go to 11th. Harrogate have got a game in hand. If they win that game in hand, we go to 12th. Newport, we got Doncaster win both their games in hand. They go above us. So, like you said, I hate to say it, but I think you're absolutely spot on. The challenge is that we, if you look at it objectively from a fan's perspective, we all are thinking, just have a go at it. Just chuck it. Chuck in some attacking aggression. Chuck some different players in, and let's have a go. But like you said, on the other side, we do that. We win one, we get a couple of unlucky results, but we really have tried. We end up being 14th. Everyone goes, well, look at us again.
Well, that's true.
So I'm looking at it's a really down. Difficult if, one. Yeah.
If we finish near, say, 15th, 16th, Bradford and Notts County, we finish near them two have had the worst seasons they've ever had.
Bradford, you know what I mean? Their fans
are going mental, both of them, Bradford and Notts County. If we finish near them, it's like, well, wait a minute, they've just had the worst season they've ever had. Why are we down there when we shouldn't? We should be finishing as close to the playoff as possible. As I said, if we finish 10th, I think that's a good season. We've got a good spine in the team already. We just have to improve on that and go again next year. Hopefully, it'll be a weaker league. But yeah, if we finish 15th and 16th, people will start asking questions. As I said, there's already people asking questions on Johnny Jackson's future now, because as I said to you before, I don't know what he has to do to win some fans over. I think he has to go and win the league or get promoted, and then some fans might be happy. But there's some fans at the moment who are... The football's not enjoyable to watch, to be fair. There's some people I know who are making excuses not to go on a Saturday. They go play golf or they go shopping instead, because it ain't great to watch. It isn't. And you're going to walk long knowing, like, we had, what, one shot on target against Harrogate in the first half? I think we only had one on target against Stockport. Even the penalty wasn't on target, was it? I don't know. It hit the post, didn't it? So does that count?
No.
So that was our only shot on target, if it counts. But yeah, I think if the football's not great to watch, but then what do we want? Do we want a team to be open and go for it, and then we get beat 3-0 by Stockport, and then people go mental again? It's a tough one.
I mean, I really feel for Jackson on that, because it's very easy for us here with four games to go, as fans who want the club to do well, to go, well, it doesn't matter really, let's have a spin at it. But he has got to, at the end of the season, sell to the board, to other players and the like, we're a club that is on the up.
Yeah.
For me, we're just missing, I generally believe we're just missing one piece of a jigsaw. And unfortunately, we haven't replaced it. And that is the hardest jigsaw piece that any team is going to have.
And this is why I feel really sorry for Kelly. And we had our little set to last week regarding him. Is because I think we should have brought in two strikers, so he wasn't the focal point. He wasn't the only one that he should start every week. Because if we had two, he could have been benched, and we had, say, what's his name, Adjali, whatever his name is, from Aldershot. He come in. That's two strikers. They could have played together. They could have played either side of Omar. Do you know what I mean? So,
but we were never going to afford two.
Well, I think Kelly is
going to be the amount of money that we're talking about. If we're talking about him being between 250 and 350 grand. At best, we were probably looking at either an experienced.
No, that's not. Flash we were close. One-ish. We were close to signing Aguiza from Aldershot. We really were.
We might have done, but I don't think we're getting both.
We nearly did. So
I can't believe that.
It's not.
We
a lie.
Were that
I'm
close. No, no. I'm not. I'm not
what
saying.
Are you trying to say?
All I'm saying is.
We're trying to say. You're calling me a liar.
I'm just saying. I find it very hard to believe that when we've got a million, 1 point, whatever it was, with it, what's it with Wickham taking whatever they took, knowing that we had to put money in the coffers for whatever it is for us to blow, which must have been, it would have to be £500,000, two of them. I think that's bold, but yeah. I think like I said, it's what was interesting is seeing life without Kelly, and for me it's worse. So yeah. I feel like although how, as much as I'm pleased that he didn't play Kelly on the Good Friday game, we missed him against Stockport. We missed a runner. We missed someone who was going to run in and behind and actually be active. But I still think that Boogie
wasn't
and
great
Kelly
when he came on against Stockport.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't. But what I would say is I feel like Kelly and Boogie were trying to do the same job.
Yeah.
And I feel like, actually, massive statement for me, but I feel like to get the best of Kelly, we need Boogie to go. And we need to find someone else who's going to come in and accommodate, who is probably our record signing. We're going to need to find... I don't know whether we need to find a different player or we need to play a different system. I don't know. But to accommodate him, it would be very bold to change the whole way that we play to accommodate.
Fair,
we're going to need to do something.
Next season, you might get your wish because I've got a feeling that Omar Bugle might not be signing. So,
no. Well, it will be interesting to see. But personally, I felt that the Harrogate game was... I was gutted about Stockport because, and I know we're going to come to it, but when you're basically playing for set pieces and our game plan, bar the goal, we were superb in terms of the way that we were trying to go. We executed our game plan. It was very similar to the MK game in terms of, nope, we're not going to give you the chance to score. We're not going to give you anything. We're not going to give you time. We're going to, you know, lots of banks of players and you're going to have to break us down. Jackson got it right on Monday. But when you play for set pieces and you can't finish your set pieces, unfortunately, we got what we deserve because we can't afford to do that. So I was more disappointed with Harrogate than we are with Stockport. Whether doing what Jackson's telling us that he says we're doing, that for me is the real difficulty. I'm the same as you. What he's telling us, I'm not seeing. But maybe he thinks the best way to win a game of football is to keep it really tight and nick it 1-0. That might be his thought process. Yeah,
just say that. But yeah, I was saying to you, I was disappointed with Harrogate more than Stockport because I expected to go up to Stockport and get beat, to be fair, because they were flying. They're playing really well. They're scoring loads of goals. I know we don't concede loads of goals, but I thought they might score and they end up, you know what I mean? That was the difference. It was a quality strike. They scored. But yeah, I'm just, my thing at the moment, frustrates me the most is just come out and say, look, yeah, it weren't our day. We set up great. We are going to set up like just before the game, he was telling us he's going to go out. We're going to try and win games. We're going to try and attack teams. And then we don't. And
we've never done that. No.
And that's the problem. So.
It is difficult from the club perspective as well. Like the interviews that we're getting, they are from a Wimbledon perspective. If you want people to go, well, why have you done that? Well, that we need someone independent.
Yeah, but they won't. I've said this. We've said this before. We need, say, the podcast or, you know what I mean, someone to go on there and ask actual questions. But we won't. We've got the club men, the club women. They won't question.
And do you know what? From that perspective...
It's their job.
It's their job. Their job is to... It's pro Wimbledon. Everything's brilliant. So from that perspective, I've got no problem with who asks the questions or anything like that. But like you've said, it's... And again, it's where, not to sound too cheesy, but this is where this forum and other forums and other blogs and stuff, that's why they're crucial. Because we're asking those questions to each other. And we're like, why are we not doing this? And it would be brilliant if... Could you imagine if you had... I'm not saying they'll ever do it or anything, but imagine if Jackson came here and we were having a chat and go, right, Johnny, can you talk me through this? Or, what happened with this? And why do you think this has happened? And just getting that, asking those challenging questions, it's the kind of things that you see reporters do with politicians. It would be interesting to see the actual answer to some of those questions. Maybe we'll never know.
Well, you mean the fans of a fans' own club actually asking the manager of the fans' own club questions and stuff and getting access to that? Yeah, that sounds too good to be true. But obviously, we're an old boys' club, Danny. So it's only you have to be in and around it to do that. And also,
well, luckily we're old boys, mate.
And also, when you get criticised and people don't agree with the way you ask questions and stuff, don't maybe patronise the fan base as much, but we don't really do that, so that's fine. Right, we'll move on, and when we come back, we'll discuss set pieces, penalties, throw-ins, and our corners. See you in a bit. Right.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back, and we're going to be discussing set pieces. So I think it's now 6 penalties that we've missed. One in the Bristol Trophy Motors Cup thing, Davison. Tilly's missed 2, I believe. I think Ali's missed the other 2, and Who Little missed 1. So that's 5 in the league. Someone sent me a thing the other day regarding if we had scored our penalties, we'd be sitting 5th. Don't agree with that, really, because obviously they weren't last-minute penalties that would have won us the game guaranteed. There's still a lot of ifs, buts and maybes in a game when you miss a penalty, because, say, Mansfield away, when we missed that one, I remember that Tilly missed quite early on. Mansfield were all over us. We end up drawing 0-0, but they might have come out and changed. It might have been a different game. They might have changed their formation or tactics around, and, yeah, we might end up folding. We might have changed our tactics to become more defensive after going 1-0 down. So 1-0 up against Stockport, and they might have scored a couple of goals against us as well, because they would have had more. Corners and crosses, corners and free kicks have been pretty poor this season from us. Jake Reeves has been really poor on corners for me. And also, you wouldn't speak about Bulmer, because you reckon the long throw since he's come in, we aim rockets in constantly, Dan. We don't really play our football anymore. It's just hit. And we haven't really got the players to do it. We've got Omar. Maybe when Ali was with us, it was something we could do, because he would get on the second balls. But he didn't even play with Bulmer. So, yeah, strange that we've only really got Omar, and Lewis has only just come back. Other than that, we haven't really got giants, so we're going to win flicks and headers. So, what do you think? Six hit pieces, 6 penalties missed, which is the first one.
It's a hell of a lot. I'm completely with you. I don't think it matters a jot, really, regarding... I don't think it means we'd be in this position or that position. I guess the challenge is, they say it's a 70% success rate of scoring. So if you're scoring penalties, you should score 70% of the time. I think the problem I have is that the penalties that we've missed have been really poor. We're not talking about good, you know, there are some penalty saves, you're like, that's a good save. Some of the penalties we've taken have been embarrassing. Like, I mean, some of a couple of alleys, and I know he missed one for Ipswich. In terms of your point with Barmer, there's no doubt that his long throw is potent, and his throw is unbelievable. But any time, anywhere near the halfway line onwards, we just go. And it's almost we're going to throw it and we're going to play from up there. It's very old school League Two, if that makes sense. It's like, you know, what we used to see, loads of big, you know, with by Accrington, it was like, there's 10 big buggers, massive long throw, arms, elbows, shoulders, it goes off someone's bum and you win 2-0 or whatever. I just feel like it kind of has negated a lot. The one thing I would say, though, is that Barmer coming in is exactly the time that Ali left. So it's a bit, it would be harsh to basically go, oh, Bournemouth's killed it, because, to be blunt, losing the best forward in the EF, in my opinion, in League Two, is the major reason why. But there's been a massive degradation of our play, literally, from the minute Ali's walked out of the door and Barmer's played, our quality of football has gone down the pan. Now, there is an argument to say that, well, for 2 months we've had Lee Brown, who, let's face it, has done a very, very good job, but he's not part. He hasn't been passing the ball. He's been getting it, go along, get it, get rid of it, because that's been his job. And there's no argument on that. He did his job exactly how he should have done it. I'm not criticising him.
And been told to do it.
Of course, yeah. There's no argument that, there's no doubt that he's been told to get it and boot it. He's not been told, get it, why don't you just pass it or do this? No, he's been told to get it and launch it up the pitch. So I'm not criticising that, but our corners have been pretty poor.
Yep.
Our free kicks have been equally poor. Bar Jake Reeves, our penalties have been very poor. And I guess normally it's not, it's important, but it's not as important. The way that we're playing now, we're playing for set pieces. Our whole game plan since, what, February has been, we're going to get the ball and what we're going to do is we're going to play for this situation and we're going to play from there. We're going to play from a corner. We're going to play for a set piece. We're not, the way that we were kind of pinging balls and lots of quick passing and quick footwork, which got us so, got us into the playoff mix and got us enjoying watching football, is the real reason why I think the fans are gutted and they feel like I feel demotivated at times and other fans. It's because what we were given between August, to be blunt, and Christmas was a version of football that was brilliant, great to watch, high energy, lots of forward pressing, lots of one touch, and we felt that we could score at any minute.
Mm.
Now, watching the way that we play, I never even feel like we're going to score. And again, I do feel for Kelly, and I'm still going to hold my ground on the fact that I feel like he's got to find a way of doing it. That's his job. He's got to find a way of doing it. But Barmer is a really, what he's got to offer is brilliant, but then you've got to play Pell. You've got to. If you're going to do that job, if you're going to do long throws, Harry Pell's got to be playing as your 10. He's got to. He's the only player on the in the pitch who could do that job.
No, I agree. I think you have to play Pell. You're hoping that Joe Lewis is back. Like, you know what I mean? We've missed Joe Lewis because he's big. He's strong. Johnson. I kind of agree on that. I do think we were playing a little bit long ball before we lost Ali, but we had Ali, so we could go long. And it worked on the odd occasion because he would run down defenders, he would cause them issues, and we'd score from that as well. We would play some really nice passing, but now we're just playing like we've got Ali, and we go, right, we're going to go long because Kelly and Omar are going to cause issues, and they don't. My problem is penalties. You're a professional football club with professional footballers. We've not just had one player miss a couple of times, and then we've changed it round for someone else to come in. We've had three people miss penalties. Littles was horrendous. Well, four.
Littles was bad, yeah.
Davison's missed one this year. I know it was just an awful cup game, but yeah, Ali's an awful penalty taker. He's missed not just for us, he's missed for Ipswich, and he's missed for, Iraq as well when he was on international duty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we took him off pens. Tilly's come on, missed, I think he's taken three, scored one and missed two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you've got Little that's missed. And then, yeah, we've missed. Yeah, it's just, you think.
I mean, on Saturday, on Monday, to be fair.
Who should have took it?
Tilly. I don't know who. No, Phil can't take it, right? The two centre midfielders.
Jack Curry?
I don't know.
Left-footed penalty taker. He's got a decent strike on him. What about Omar? Should Omar have been taking them? Would he have taken them for Lebanon if he was out in the Asian Cup and it was got
I've got no idea. What was interesting is at the moment the penalty went, Tilly went, yeah, you could see that Tilly went to go towards it. The interesting thing is he hasn't scored since September. And he's been out, in my opinion.
That's bad, isn't it?
In the league, it is, yeah. I mean, he obviously scored in...
Yeah, but that's pretty poor that he hasn't scored since September. Season started in August.
Yeah. And bear in mind, we've had October, November, December, January, February. I mean, 6 months in the Football League without a goal. And he's been injured for maybe four games. Not much more than that, I think. The difficulty I had is that the minute he got the ball in his hand, I said to my dad, I was like, here we go. Like, he had the opportunity just to... I spoke to my mate, who's the Chipset guy, and he basically said, with a penalty, if your struck guys are struggling, you put the ball down and you whack it straight down the middle. Hard as you can, straight down the middle. And that way, the keepers almost never stand still. They're always moving. And if they do stand there, you're still going to give it some welly and the ball's going to come back to you. I don't know. It's a frustrating one because he, of all the players on the pitch, was probably... For me, he had to take the penalty because he, of all of the people on the pitch...
What about Gordon?
No. I felt like Tilly was the right person to take.
I reckon Gordon would step up if he was at Palace under-23s and had a penalty.
Yeah, but he's not at Palace under-23s.
No, but he's technically good. He can hit a ball. I don't get why. Tilly's missed penalties.
I'm technically good. I can hit a ball. I'm not taking the penalty, a stop ball.
Back a few months ago, if we got a penalty, everyone would be like, oh, great. Do you know what I mean? We've got a penalty. It don't mean nothing because we're going to miss. On Monday, I thought, we got a penalty. Yes, we can get 1-0 up against Stockport. We're playing well, defensively good. Keep it, and we could get away with 3 points here. And it was an awful penalty. It weren't, do you know what I mean? It's the keeper went the wrong way as well. Makes it a little worse.
I think the real frustration from the Stockport perspective, and again, I was in the Costa del Kent watching it. I was very, very lucky. But one of the things that when you're watching the game, and I was with my dad, is like even the way that we played, we were sitting there going, we're going to play for a set piece. We're basically we're playing this game, trying to keep them at bay, looking to find this option. And in the whole game, that was the one. That was the opportunity where it was like, right, okay, this is our time. We've played for it. Omar, bit of trickery. Good. It was to the game plan. We score that goal. As you said, we can't define what happens in the future. But my God, we go into half time and we've almost achieved our. We won the first half. I think it's just frustrating that the one out we've got in the game, we had it and we blew it. And I think it's just that frustration is difficult. I've got no idea who's going to take the penalty now. I thought, like I said, if Curtis was playing, he'd have been an absolute shoo-in. But we've still got no Curtis for the next two games
If Kelly had started, which I think he should have done on Monday, I think he would have been a shoo-in to take it as well. I think he would have got that ball.
Bizarrely, that's exactly what my dad said. My dad was like, God, if Kelly was on that pitch, he'd have had to take him. There would have been, everyone would have gone, it's got to be you. And maybe that's the one thing that he's going to need. And perhaps next season, or at the end of this season, he might get a goal and get 2-2 or 3-3. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you remember Piggott, when he first came, he was just like skinny little bean with floppy hair. And then he almost had a summer. And then he came back and we were like, God almighty, he's been in the gym. Haircut. Maybe that's what Kelly needs. He needs a summer of sorting himself out, getting a bit of this.
I said this on the debrief, like that would have been perfect on Monday. A penalty, do you know what I mean? Chance to score the first goal, do you know what I mean? Get that elephant off your back. And I said, the problem we've got is we don't know what Kelly's circumstances was coming from Solihull. Someone said he was from Windsor, he lives local, so he hasn't had to move too far. But travelling, you don't know what Solihull full-time were doing. Were they a full-time professional team in the conference? Or were they semi-professional or half full-time? Yep. Do you know what I mean? Because I was speaking to someone who knows Southend, and they signed a striker from, what's it called, Rushall something. And he had to
Olympic.
Yeah, he had to give his notice with work. And they said, yeah, we're not letting you have to work your four-week notice. So he had to work 4 weeks before he could sign for Southend. Well, he signed for Southend, had to work his 4 weeks notice, could only train 2 days a week, when he could come, and then play games. And that was pretty much it. That's all he could do. And then he said, like, the trying to get fit was just, it's taken him, what has he been there since January? So it's taken him now, and he's still not fully fit to get up to Southend's level. And they're in the conference. Do you know what I mean? So we don't know his circumstances. But I thought, yeah, on Monday, it was perfect with a penalty there. We've missed him before. Kelly would have been perfect at that penalty. As you said, Curtis would have been perfect. But what is happening with our corners? Because I think the only time it's worked this year is not Scanty. Long throw, and we scored from a set piece where Bournemouth's at the back post. But other than that, I can't remember goals coming in from corners.
I mean, the Harrogate one, we had.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We had some corners, and then Reeves decided to do a different corner with like a floaty thing, and the keeper went, you know, I'll just come and get it. And he, I think he did the same against Stockport. He just did this sort of, no, it wasn't Reeves. It was somebody else. Reeves, who was like, I'm just going to float it. And the keeper went, yeah, all right, I'll come get it. I don't know, mate, to be honest with you. Obviously, Reeves is the right person to take it. Why was Reeves not playing? Was he?
He was ill.
Ill, fine, okay.
So yeah, he should be back.
So it will be a very interesting selection on Saturday. I think Saturday will give us a real insight as to where we're going to go. But again, without Reeves, we're going to. So Tilly's okay, but
is Tilly? If Reeves, say Reeves not well enough to start on Saturday,
yeah,
is Tilly still penalty taker?
Well, I don't see how he can be, but I don't know who is going to be the penalty taker. Personally, hopefully, if Reeves is back, it's him. If Kelly plays, it's Kelly. If neither of them are playing, then I think Omar Bugle's just got to turn up and fucking whack it. I mean,
that's what I mean. I think Omar Bugle would take the penalty if he was playing for Lebanon. So why is he not taking it if it was AFC Wimbledon? I mean, maybe it was out of his hands. He might want to take it, but Tilly said, no, I'm having this. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they've had set-piece competition, you know, like the old days when you used to have a set-piece competition to find out who was going to be taking set-pieces all weekend.
Mate, but can you imagine? It would have taken all weekend. right, who's taking our penalties? We'll start on Friday. We'll be done by Monday. I mean, it would take an absolutely forever. Yeah, I don't know. Well. It is a frustrating thing. Yes, we probably would have got, well, not probably, we almost definitely would have got more points had we taken those set pieces. I guess it's just another one of those things we talk about these things last year, those extenuating factors from Jackson. They're things that you can't control, like, you know, 6 penalties in a season. We've done the hard work. We've got the penalties. They're the hard
and
thing
I,
to
and
get.
I know me and you say it's if buts and maybes that we would have won them games and stuff, but say we had beaten Stockport on Monday. Do you know what I mean? We're still amongst the playoffs and you've just got to come off a great result of beating the team top of the league who are scoring free-flowing football and stuff, and we beat them. Do you know what I mean? I know it might have papered over the cracks and stuff, but you say we won against Mansfield that time. You don't know how it's going to change the form and the stuff. But yeah, it might have been. But I don't buy it because I think games, you still got a long way to go against Stockport after we missed that penalty. There's still a long way to go.
But it was a long way to lose that. The way that we played, yeah. Of course, like you said, I would have been very surprised had we not conceded a goal because they had chucked everything at us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they could have chucked everything. We could have played Kelly up top and they could have left him on his own. So yeah. It's all swings and roundabouts. But it would be, if we're going, again, people can believe about whether we're going to get in the playoffs. If we're going to get in the playoffs, we're going to do it on set pieces unless Jackson does something totally out of left field and actually follows the kind of fan base, which I don't think he will. I think he'll just keep it tight. So set pieces will become crucial, and let's hope Reeves is back, and let's hope we find our feet in that way.
No, hopefully we do. And if Reeves ain't back, we have a penalty taker that can step up and actually put one in the back of the net. So we'll come back. We're going to discuss Josh Davison. Is he harshly treated by the fans, or are they spot on? See you in a bit.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing Josh Davison. Is he harshly treated by the fans? Has he been harshly treated by the management team? Or people say about him spot on. I am a bit 50-50 with Josh Davison because I've heard some things saying he's one of the worst footballers we've ever had. I think the management team haven't done him a bit of a disservice, to be fair. They've pulled him right out. He don't even get near the starting 11 anymore. He's 23 years old. He scored, 10 goals last year? Can't remember how many he scored for Swindon at this level, but he did score goals before that. And I do think we can be quite harsh on him. Who was it? We had Alex the other week on the pod when you couldn't make it, Dan. He reckons he's awful, one of the worst players he's ever seen. He scored, here we go, where is it? Swindon.
21. He's got 9 in 21.
He scored 13 goals for us. What is your view on Josh? Should he be playing more games? Because he ain't near it. You know what I mean? He's literally been bombed out.
No, he shouldn't have been playing more games. I don't have a problem with him as a person. But if you look at all of the characteristics of what makes a really good centre forward, he is just below what you need him to be on every asset. So, as example, pace. He's not quick enough to get to scare you, but he's quick enough to press. Shooting, unless it's on a plate for him, i.e. when Ali played and rolled it across and there you go, he isn't someone that is going to regularly finish well, in my opinion. In terms of assists, in terms of creativity, in terms of holding the ball up in the air, I don't think I've ever seen him score a header. That could be wrong. I don't remember him scoring a header for us. I feel like there is a very, very competent football player in there, but he's just a runner. He just runs a lot. There's no doubt he's got a great work ethic. I am certain he is one of them forwards that would stay behind and practice shooting and stay behind and do this and do that. But he doesn't get in those positions enough. And it's really difficult with forwards because he comes on and you're like, well, you know, do something. But if you haven't played for weeks, it's rough to go, right, this guy can't do it. You're playing top of the league. Right, go on, Davidson, go and do something. Well, it's a really sort of difficult scenario for him. But without Ali, who at times would almost put it on a plate for him, I don't feel like he's the kind of forward that is going to get a team promoted. I think he's the kind of forward that is going to be your third or fourth forward who, if you, right, you're 2-0 up, go and close the game off, go and put Davidson on. If it's 1-0 and it's a nervy 1-0, can we hold our own? Davidson as a defensive forward, I think he's great. But from a, we need a goal, I wouldn't want Davidson on.
See, I think he probably would suit the way we're playing now. Because we're defensive and then he does a lot of the running, he does a lot of hard work, mm-hmm. a lot of chasing. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't hold the ball up as well as, say, Omar doesn't win headers, really. But I think if Omar was, say, away or injured, I think Davidson and Kelly could work pretty well because Davidson does all the donkey work and then hopefully then we'll thread Kelly, who's got the pace, and then who will do the finishing. And hopefully we'll put it on a plate for Davidson to score goals. As a person, I'm different to you. I don't like him as a person.
Do you not?
No, he kind of like his hairdo when he first signed, that soppy hair that he had with the plaits and stuff, and just kind of annoyed me. Kind of trying to, he's like kind of that person that kind of wants the attention all on him. Do you know what I mean? And then some of the TikTok videos I've seen of him dancing in TikTok videos and stuff. And yeah, just personally, I just think, oh, mate, get a grip of yourself, you're a grown man. But as a footballer, I don't think he's that bad. I just think the management team run him into the ground last season because he was the only one there until Ali came in. Do you know what I mean? And the season before, when he first signed, he was literally run into the ground. He was playing most games for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think he was not used great then. I do worry that our management team do not know how to manage strikers. Do you know what I mean? Ali, yeah, he was a one. Do you know what I mean? But other than that, Omar looks, do you know what I mean? He's still got his broken wrist, kind of lad. But
yeah, I mean, that injury is not getting better, is it?
Do you know what I mean? I do feel like we do run him into the ground. Kelly's not being used properly, in my opinion. Davison's not being used properly. Who else have we had? Omar. Again, we've made him more into an attacking midfielder, an attacking footballer instead of a striker, instead of playing
well,
alongside.
Let me turn the table, right? Is Josh Kelly going to get in any of the teams in the top seven?
No.
Right. Is he going to be in a team? He's not in our team, right? So is he really going to be in a team? I mean, he won't get in Notts County's team, right? And they're 16th. Personally, I feel that he's a bottom-end League 2. I think he'd be a decent conference striker. But I just don't think he's got... He's very, very similar to people like Ball, who are okay, like very vanilla, but they're not... And again, it just depends on where you're at. If you're worried, if you want to, like, for instance, I don't know, Tranmere or Grimsby, right? Grimsby's expectation next year, if they stay up, will be, can we get to mid-table? Yeah, Davison will be okay.
But
he won't
Danny,
probably be that main man, but he'll be okay.
But Danny, you're saying that about Grimsby. We finished fourth and bottom last year.
Yeah.
And our expectation has changed from being mid-table to being in the playoffs.
Yeah, but the difference is that we brought in a number of players and we've evidenced with those players that we're at a position where we can be in the playoffs with Ali at the time, who was absolutely flying.
Yeah, but Josh Davison was our number two striker when Ali with Ali.
Yeah, but he never got on the pitch. He didn't get on the pitch because we had Tilly on one side, Nerful on the other, and then we had Ali with Bugiel. Davison getting nowhere near it. And when we did play Davison, Ali was doing enough work to slide him in occasionally, and he did well against, was it Colchester at home? He scored a couple, Davison. As I said, I don't think he's a terrible football player. I'm not saying that at all. But he's not where we as a club, and this is where the summer clear out, if you really want to call it that, is going to be interesting. We should, as a group, if you're thinking about having, I don't even want to say it. But if you've got Johnson and Lewis, Little and Reeves and Kelly as a five with people like Nerfield who are okay, Tilly, if he finds his form, will be all right. We're obviously going to need a left back. For us to achieve better, we've got to aim higher than mid-table. And ultimately, from a fan's perspective, our aspirations for next year have got to be playoffs as a minimum, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So if we're going to do that, Davison can't be on the pitch as much as he has been in this year and the previous years.
You made a point a minute ago about him playing games and it's hard. Like people, the question was, do we think he's harshly treated? And I got to say yes, because as you said, you're not playing that many games, and then he's coming on, and people are going, "Oh, here he comes! He ain't gonna change." But
harshly treated by
the fans.
So you think that the fans,
to be fair, the management team, because yeah, I've got stats in front of you. So last 15 games, right? This is the last 15.
Yeah.
He played 6-8 minutes against Mansfield on the 27th of January, and right. He played 6-7 minutes against Crawley on the 20th of February. Other than that, he's played 12 minutes against Bradford, 9 minutes against Barrow, 14 against Accrington, 14 against Morecambe, 6 right. away to Doncaster when we lost 1-0 and it was horrendous. Only 6 minutes. On the bench against MK, didn't come on. 13 against Grimsby when it was 0-0 and it was horrendous. On the bench against Notts County, didn't come on. Great. Played 1 minute against Gillingham in the 2-0 win. On the bench against Newport. 9 minutes away to Crewe. On the bench against Harrogate and then 3 minutes against Stockport. And you're asking this man to come on, change games, or start the week after, say Omar's gone and go, right, you're starting now. Hasn't played, doesn't play with Kelly obviously often. No one does, to be fair. But you're asking him to come on and play with these players that he's not playing with week in, week out. I know he's training with them, but it's a totally different kettle fish.
It is.
And he's playing no minutes. And then fans are going, nah, he's useless. Can't win headers. Shouldn't be nowhere near it. Do you know what I mean? And the management team obviously think that's the case as well because they're not playing him. Not and
well,
we're,
yeah,
the other day, we were, yeah, but we're losing some of them games and drawing. We need players to come on and score goals. And they're going, not having it.
So what you're saying is you need to play players who aren't good enough for us to do what we want to do. You want to play less than... You're basically saying we need to play players who aren't good enough just in case we might need them here and there.
But is he not good enough then? You're not having him...
No, he's not good enough. If he was good enough...
No, I disagree. He scored 10 goals last year for us in League Two.
9 goals in the league.
9 goals.
In a team that finished what? Fourth from bottom?
Yeah, but 1 point we were up there when he was playing well, yeah, and then Ali came on.
Yeah, with a Sal, and then Ali came and played in the wing and he was okay. And again, if you think about Davison as well, last year he got 2 against Mansfield, 2 against Harrogate at home. So that now means he's got what, 5 goals in the rest of those games.
But we beat Colchester 5-3. He scored 2 goals in that game.
Right, here you go then.
A couple of weeks later, then he's getting 4 minutes the next week.
Right.
And you've got someone like Josh Kelly, who's scoring 0 goals in 13 games.
But and now he's out of the team.
People want him, yeah, but people want him to start. You've got Omar, who scored how many goals this year?
I don't know. 10, maybe? 9?
Nine. Same as Josh Davison last year, but you want him, and he. I think Omar's a better player than Josh, but he does very similar work. Do you know what I mean? And we're running players into the ground and going, why are these players injured? Why can't we keep players fit and stuff like that? And
so you're saying
the players we have got.
You're saying that last year, Josh Kelly, in your opinion, is the same player as Bougiel this season?
Josh Davison.
On statistics, in terms of 37 and 9, you're right in terms of one output, which is goals and appearances, they're exactly the same.
But as a goal scorer, that's Davis, what you look at, though, isn't it?
But Bougiel is not just a goal scorer.
People are talking about bringing Piggott back next year because he scored goals for us when he played for us. Guy scored 3 goals in 34 games. I wouldn't be touching him with a barge pole.
But Davison's job is I'd rather have Davison and Piggott now. But Davison's a number nine, isn't he? Davison is in the team solely. Correct.
We don't have a number nine, and we don't look like scoring goals. I get you think he might not be good enough, but then we're not scoring goals. We've got no one who's scoring goals for us, and we're not trying.
But Davison's not. What I'm saying to you is, we're not playing him.
How do you know if he's playing 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there?
Because we've seen Davison for 2 years, and he is. How many games have we seen him and been like, "Oh God, he's terrible. Oh God, he's not done this. He's not done that." As I said, he runs around a lot. We're in a situation if we don't have anyone to play there. Then he should play there. And if it means on Saturday you play Bougiel behind Davison or you play Kelly and Davison or whatever they want to do, that's up to the management and they can do it. But it doesn't change the fact that Davison is not a player that if we're going to be where we want to be, we're going to do it without him.
I don't think he's been helped. Again, it's the same as Truska. He hasn't been helped by the management. It hasn't been helped by the way we play football.
I can't disagree with either of those. But the fact remains... Last year, he came in up front and was relatively ineffective in 35 games, right? He runs around, he works hard, he hustles, he bustles. But there isn't, again, if you look at like Ali, right? You go, Ali, good forward, pace, right? That's what you go. You go, he's pace, he's strong. Bougiel does all the donkey work. What is Davison's main characteristic?
The donkey
work. If it is just the donkey work, he's not going to go scoring goals, is he? That's exactly.
But
the
then
point
you have
making.
Just
he's
you
not,
play him and
score
Josh,
goals.
Play him and Josh Kelly up front together in the two, because right. Gordon don't do any good. Gordon ain't scoring goals.
He's not particularly good either.
Do you know what I mean? Curtis is the only one that he does is that you know if he's in front of goal he'll finish it.
Yeah.
But he ain't in games a lot of the time. He 70 minutes. You think where is he?
And then I totally agree.
Up, which is what you want. And if you're looking at stats, you're looking at him going, well, he has scored 4 goals in, what, 8 starts or whatever it is he's done. You think, well, ain't
who's
bad
that?
Return. Curtis. I don't know how many starts he's had. But
Curtis has been, in my opinion, for majority of games, he's been.
I do think that Davison is harshly treated by the fans, and I think he's been harshly treated by the management team. But I think he'll be gone. He has got another
deal on his contract. Is he in our best Wimbledon team?
No, but then I'm struggling to think of a forward line that we've got at the moment.
No, I agree.
Be my best Wimbledon team.
And next year, if you were told that when they went...
I'd be getting rid of him in the summer.
Right, well, there we are then. So what are you debating about?
I'm talking about now. We've got nothing now, Danny. We can't get rid of him now and we can't bring anyone in. So you've got to work with what you've got.
Well, then if you've got to work with what you've
that's
got...
That's what I'm saying
play him,
now.
But that's not...
Like Pell, I'd clear Pell out at the end of the season. I'd clear Brown out.
I agree. Yeah, right. I agree. Yeah,
but Brown has.
But we had to use Brown at some point,
and we've used him, and we've found a position for him. And I think that's the problem. Jackson finds a formation that works with the players that he's got now that he had, then thinks it'll work going forward. That's why we played Johnson, Lewis, and Bulmer. He'd never played them like that before, and that would have worked previously with Johnson, Lewis, and who else did we have?
O'Toole.
Well, no, before them, before they come in when before they got injured. We played a
back. We had Callum Bye, didn't we?
Callum Bye. He's gone literally off the cliff, Callum Bye.
I don't know where he is.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But
he is absolutely A1.
Yeah, he is well gone. But do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. With what we've got currently, we are not scoring goals. Josh Davison comes on the pitch and everyone goes, oh, fuck it. This is shit. This is gone. He ain't going to win nothing.
But
and
are you excited?
Shouting
if David, but if Davison comes on the pitch...
I'm not excited watching him at the moment anyway. No matter what happens.
But be honest, if on Saturday
we
line up
and Josh Davison
and Josh Davison started up the pitch, are you honestly telling me
yes.
that's exciting you. Because if it is, you need to go and have a bar.
I think if we went 4-4-2 on Saturday and it was Davison and Kelly, I think we're going a bit different. Depends on who's behind him. But
club are going differently. But Davison as a player is not going to excite
Kelly's
you.
Not playing well with Omar.
Yeah.
Right? They're not playing well together.
Yeah.
And Kelly can't play in that three with Curtis and Gordon. So we need to get Kelly scoring. And it ain't working. And we need to get someone who works, rates good, and stuff like that. I just think with the players we got, like Pell doesn't get back near the squad for me at the moment.
No, agreed.
He might do. He might bring, like, if you're looking at Saturday, you take Pierce out and you put Pell in, but then we've got no centre backs on the bench. But Brown, I don't know. Brown's gone missing again. He's, don't know if he's injured or something, but he went in the squad. Davison for me, I just think he has been harshly treated by the fans and the management team. As I said, at Stockport, he came over to wave at a friend in the crowd or a family member in the crowd, and someone said, "Will you just fuck off? You're useless." Or so to them.
I'm never, ever, ever going to support anyone just slagging up a player.
I agree with
that.
But
and I don't know how anyone can be like that with him because he does try. There's no argument. The bloke runs around and tries his best.
I'm not saying he's going to, we'll start him on Saturday, we'll score four goals and it'd be him and Josh Kelly show. But at the moment, we're not scoring goals anyway. So I'm looking at our bench and thinking, what's our options? Not being rude, Sasu ain't the option for me anymore. He's come on and I haven't seen anything from him where I thought, I think he needs a loan at a conference team, a full season at men's football. I said this at the start of the season. I've not seen anything where he's come on and gone, you're going to play him up front and we'll score goals. If he comes on, is he exciting you when he comes on, you think, yes, we'll get a goal here? You're not.
I feel like the one thing he does
Tilly
give us
is not doing
pace.
Anything.
No,
Tilly's not doing anything. Tilly comes on, you think, well, he's out of form. He's so out of form. Nerfield's okay. Who else we got?
What I will say, though, in terms of Davison, this could be a very, very big four games on the fact of if you're right and he gets a starting berth. Personally, I wouldn't start him.
I don't think he will. But
what I would say is if he does get that chance and if you're right and he goes, we've got Johnny Jackson. We know exactly what he's all about. I'd be very surprised if he plays about with anything too much. Because I think Davison, I don't think he'll play and I don't think we will play without Bougiel unless he's injured.
100%.
Which means that it'd be very, very difficult playing Davison with Kelly, with Bougiel. That's a lot. So I don't know how that would work. but what I would say is, if he was someone that wanted to have a contract, this could be a big four games. And if he is someone who plays on Saturday, gets 4-4, or scores a couple, wins a game and plays well, I wouldn't be disappointed to see Davison at Wimbledon. But I would expect there to be two or three better strikers.
I agree.
And
I said, we're not scoring goals at the moment. We don't look like attacking for it. We're not even having shots. I just think I'm looking at the bench. I'm looking at players we've got. Like people were saying about McLean. McLean should be playing instead of Tilly at the moment. Why are we not giving him a chance? Why is he not even on the bench? And I have to agree with that. I'd have McLean on the bench over Sasu at the moment because I said when Sasu comes on, I just don't think he does anything. I've not seen him beat a man, not seen him get crosses in, I ain't seen him put an assist in. I don't think he scored a goal this season, has he, Sasu?
He scored against, he has scored a goal. He scored against Portsmouth, not in the league.
No, that's what I mean. I don't think he's had loads of chances. So it's not like he's been thrown in and he's played 5-10 games in a row and stuff, and he ain't scored. But we're saying Kelly ain't scored in 13. Sasu ain't scored in the league. Tilly hasn't scored since September in the league. Who else are we looking at? Curtis sometimes goes missing in games. Gordon, I still don't think is good enough. Omar, he's good at the battling and the headers and stuff, but he ain't scoring your goals. We need to try something. And I just think Davison's a striker. Maybe we need to use him a little bit more than we do and maybe get off his back a little bit more. He'll be gone at the end of the season anyway. Let's just, it is what it is kind of thing. Right.
What I didn't know is Sasu's is Norwegian. How about that?
Yeah, I know, mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Now that is absolutely... But
him
yeah,
and Haaland
I mean,
up front for Norway.
Oh, crikey. The one thing I would say for him is that, like you said, I felt that this was the year for him to have a loan. Maybe next year, if we do have those players, him going out till January, I think wouldn't be a bad shout at all.
I think that will
depend. Personally, it'll be interesting to see Sasu come out, but I'd love to see Williams being around the squad now.
But he's I been feel like that's the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, is he fully fit again? But you never know. Right, we'll move on because we've been going on a bit longer than we anticipated regarding that. Right, we'll be back and we'll preview the game on Saturday against Salford.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back for the final part of the episode where we preview the game on Saturday. So we're at home to Salford. I fancy this to be quite a feisty affair because of the manager of Salford, Cole Robinson, bringing his team down.
Oh, is he back?
Yeah, he's Salford manager. He got sent off after about 30 seconds, I think.
How exciting.
First game. But yeah, obviously that's going to be quite good. He'll obviously get a few songs sung at him. Hopefully we'll bring the banners back out. But yeah, that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to that and him coming down. Salford, for me, are not a very good side. We should have smashed them at their place. Ali, again, the man everyone raves about, missed hundreds of chances at their place. He should have scored at least a hat-trick. Looking at their form table, they've lost to Walsall 2-1. Walsall are in dire form. They've lost to Sutton 2-1. They beat Notts County, which ain't no big deal. They beat Morecambe, drew with Stockport, and then lost to MK 3-1. So, yeah, their form ain't great. I do fancy us to beat them, but it's if we go for
right.
it.
Or if we so let's not beat about the bush. How are we? Are playoffs mathematically? It's not dead.
No,
but bearing in mind Crawley have been playing quite well, and they are 3 points ahead, 2 games in hand. What do we need if we win all 4 games? Are we going to be in the playoffs?
We could be in the playoffs, yes.
I'm not asking could we. I'm asking you a question.
No, I don't
think we will. If we win all 4 games, is that going to be enough to get us in the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
But do you see... The problem is I look at the 4 games and think Salford, Swindon, Tranmere,
my God,
Walsall.
Definitely. All 4 of them are winnable, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the next 3 are easily winnable. Walsall's a tough game last game of the season. If they need to get in the playoffs and we need it, it could be a tough game. But yeah, the next 3 are really, they're on dire forms, all 3 of them. Salford have dropped, Swindon have dropped massively. They can't buy a win or a goal at the moment either. So I just hope we change it around a little bit, as I said, and I hope we really go for them. But as I said, I think Johnny Jackson's got a lot of fear in him. That the fact that if we lose the next 4 games and we do finish as last 15th, 16th, people might start calling for his head again.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we don't win, we're done. From a playoff perspective, if we're not going to win the game, we are toast. We're totally and utterly done. So for me, if we don't win, then that any kind of vague idea, I mean, like I said, if we don't win, we get a draw, we'll be on 60. Everyone else around us, I think we need to we'll need to park it. Winning is a really difficult one because obviously I want to win, but winning would then dangle the carrot again. Because obviously Crawley could lose for whatever reason on Saturday if they're not playing or whatever they're doing. What that means is we will then be back up to where we might want to be. What have Crawley got? Crawley have got a couple of very hard games. They got Mansfield away. I don't know. I think Salford are done. They're safe. I don't see any hope in hell of anyone catching Salford. So I think they're safe.
They're safe.
They're on the beach.
They could be on the beach. But as I said, with their manager in charge, I don't think he'll allow them to be on the beach just yet. I think he'll be drumming it into him what this game means to him. And if players want to be there next season kind of thing, what they need to do to perform in this kind of game. Do you know what I mean? Because he hates us as much as we hate him. So I think he'll be well up for Saturday. And as I said, I do think he'll be on the beach. They've got that big striker, haven't they? Smith, he causes issues, but he is a bit of a donkey, in my opinion.
Is he one of the top scorers in the league?
I don't think so.
I think he might be.
But I'm hoping that Kelly comes back in. Curtis is still suspended. I think Pell's not suspended anymore, but I won't bring him back. I hope we go Josh Kelly. Hope we go... Reeves comes back in, even though Reeves has been on dire form, to be fair. He's not been good for the last few weeks.
Well, Matt Smith, that donkey, is the second top goal scorer in the league. Okay. 23 goals, 3 assists. So he is right up there regarding...
He's done well for that, though, didn't he? To be top second top goal scorer in a team like that, to be fair.
I think he's decent. I would love to see a different formation. I'd love to see a different way of playing. But unfortunately, I think the way that he's looking at us now is I don't think he thinks we've got the firepower. And I think he's gonna particularly with a very big centre forward who's good scorer lump, I think we're gonna play exactly what we've been playing.
Yep.
And I think but what I do expect is Kelly to return. That will be one of the big ones I think we need to see anyway. I would love to see Billa back. I keep talking about it. I'd love to see Billa come back on the right wing because I don't think Nur feels any better than him in either way, by the way, going forwards, crossing, going back. I don't think he's done a lot wrong, but he's just meh for
if
me.
If we draw or lose and we're out of the playoff race,
yep.
The next three games, would you be bringing in, if the Morgan Williams was fit, Kaya Jennings,
players
like that for next season, yep. Would you then go to Bournemouth? Look, thanks very much.
No, not Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth would stay in the team.
Would you still play the loan, like the O'Toole's, the Bournemouths that we might think?
I personally wouldn't play. O'Toole's a different, tricky one because I think he's actually been quite
good. I thought he was quality on Monday.
And I think he's been a very, very solid performer. And whether would I want him next year? I don't know because he kind of, you do need some experience, but I feel like Pell would do the same job. And I think
You're not having Pell over at all, are you?
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is behind the scenes, I think Pell probably is a great person to have in and around the club.
Oh, God, total head loss.
I am letting Pell go, but I don't know whether O'Toole has done enough, he'll be cheap enough to keep him.
You have a laugh.
What, to keep O'Toole?
You say they ain't been good enough.
Well, for us
he's
next
been
year...
probably one of our best players since he's come into the team against MK.
Remember, we've been a very...
And I thought he was quality on Monday.
So what you're saying is... You think O'Toole's good enough to compete with Johnson and Lewis?
Because I don't think there's not many players that are going to be good. I don't think Bournemouth's good enough to compete with them too.
And would you pick Bournemouth over? Would you keep Bournemouth?
I'd have Bournemouth over O'Toole if it was a choice.
Right, so that's now
because Bournemouth's 23,
yeah,
younger, he's solid. I think a good solid League Two player. And he has his long throws, which can be if we can next year utilize him to work for
us. So you're now raving about our fourth best centre back.
But he's experienced. You're getting rid of Pierce, you're getting rid of Brown, you're getting rid of Pell, you're getting rid of three experienced players. You still need some experience around the team. I don't think we can get Bournemouth anyway. So I'd be looking at O'Toole within the budget. And as I said, he's not coming in for Johnson or Lewis. Them two, you're one. But if we're going three next year, 3-5-2. You can put Little, Reeves and O'Toole in that three in the midfield. It's not very attacking, but you've got...
Terrible midfield.
It's not a terrible midfield.
Well, it's just like... God, can you imagine watching that?
I'm not saying every game, Dan, but you've got that kind of... You can push him into midfield.
Are you offering O'Toole a contract at the end of the season if he's available? Yes or no?
It depends on who else we're trying to get,
though. Stop being such a... You and your fence sitting.
No, it does.
Who's back? You're the one. You had a go at me last week.
At the end of the season, we're going to do our ratings from 1 to 10 on the players that we've had this season.
Oh, are we now? Is it? Thanks for that. Thanks for letting me know.
I haven't. Yeah, I just thought about it then. And we'll do it anyway. And we can't do it now. It's too early because the season's still not finished. But we'll do our 1 to 10s, like Bass, obviously 9s and stuff. But yeah, it just depends on what we need.
If you do lose Brown, if you do lose Pell, if you do lose Pierce, if you do lose, he's not really been around, Nightingale, if you do lose people like Callum Bye, who aren't that old, but they are experienced.
Curry goes, he's experienced.
We've got Reeves, but we are a little bit light on experience. And maybe O'Toole.
It's also if he wants to come and play for us as well.
Of course,
mate.
But what I'm saying
his
is
money might
is
be too much.
Well, that was the other conversation point I had was around if someone like O'Toole is expensive, I don't think he can join us and be an expensive player because there's no point really swapping Pell.
And would he wanted to leave Mason to go get game time? Would he come to us knowing that he's third, fourth choice?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know how old he is.
37. I mean,
he can't. Is he that old?
I think so.
Oh, no. I'm definitely not looking at him.
That's why I said Bulmer.
I can't look at him if he's that expensive. Crikey. I don't know. I don't know. But he's 35.
Sorry, he's 35. So he'll be 36 this year, I think he is. When was his birthday? 30th of September. Yes, he's 36.
He'll be 36 at the start of the season.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But I don't know. I definitely though, if we don't win on Saturday, I'm playing Kelly for the next three games just to try and find him a goal. I don't care how we do it.
I'm playing him the next four games, mate. I'm starting against Salford. These are the four games you're looking at now thinking, right, these are winnable games. If we play to our strengths, there's goals in this game for us, in these games. You know what I mean? We're not playing against teams that are up there. We're playing against teams that are on the beach, gone. Tranmere, Swindon's. Do you know what I mean? Swindon are in free fall. They're all over the gaff. I think they're on the beach about 2 months ago. But yeah, I'd be playing Kelly. And as I said, if we do draw or lose and we're out the playoff race, I'd be bringing Kai Jennings in, giving him a little bit of taste of it because I think he's meant to be mustard.
It will be very interesting, like exactly like you said. If we do lose it and we're kind of, and Crawley win their game in hand and it's just ridiculous, it will be interesting as to where Jackson's head is regarding. Okay, I'm going to have a look at these three lads and give them that experience. I can't afford it. It'll be
But that's why I think it'd be good if he came out and went, right, we're at the playoff place. We've done our best we could. Unfortunately, we've fallen short this year. We're going to build again next year a good squad to go for the playoffs or promotion next year. But in the meantime, we've got four games left. I'm going to look at players that want to be here next year. There's some contracts up for grabs. Do you know what I mean? The players like Pierce and all them might think, well, I want a contract next season at Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean? And say that and go, well, I'm going to try a few of the kids who are meant to be decent in the youth team and see what they've got and if they can step up and go to Kai Jennings. Look, this is your chance to show me that you should be around this squad next year. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I think. But yeah.
I mean, I think if we sink any lower than 10th, regardless of the game.
12th for me.
Well, what I mean is in terms of the playoffs.
Oh, right, yeah.
About end of year.
Oh, right.
I think after Saturday, if we're below 10th, I think we just go, thanks ever so much, because I know the goal difference is the goal difference. And Morecambe, Morecambe have got a game in hand. Crawley have got two. Walsall, same game, two. Harrogate, one. There's just too much room. There's too many spaces to jump. But also, you know, the way it will shape up, we'll basically have to play one of Mansfield, Wrexham, or Milton Keynes, and
we haven't
beaten Wrexham, but we beat Mansfield and Milton Keynes the last kick of the game.
Doesn't matter if it was last kick. Did we beat them?
Yes.
Sorry. Right, your prediction.
Right, my prediction on Saturday is going to be. Salford 1.
Were they home team?
No.
And we're home team.
AFC Wimbledon 1. Salford 1.
Oh, yeah.
And that will be really well done. But we're going to go exactly as we've always played, quite defensive. And it will be sadly the end of our playoff.
Wimbledon
push.
3.
Salford. 3.
Salford 1. Josh Kelly hat-trick.
Oh, to be honest with you, I genuinely would take a loss.
Josh Davison hat-trick.
I would take a loss for Kelly to score. I'd much rather lose 3-2 and Kelly score 2 and have an absolute blind and he has his breakout
than us win an own goal
1-0.
I'd rather Wimbledon win if Kelly never scores again. Ridiculous statements. You'd rather us lose and Josh Kelly score 1 goal. But he will score
I just don't think the playoffs is it's where we're at this year.
I'm not saying we won't playoffs. I just think
I'd rather Kelly. We had a Kelly come back next year.
We're not going to go long ball at all on Saturday. We're going to play nice football around. know what I mean? And then I'll realise John Jackson's in charge and we'll just go long ball.
And you'll be like, oh, okay, same as.
And I'm on Google and we won't have a shot. But yeah, 3-1.
But we'll still win 3-1 without a shot.
Yeah.
Absolute clown.
3 own goals from their player, Josh Kelly. Right, we're going to sign off. That's it. That's how it's done. Maybe a debrief on Sunday. I'm not sure if I can do one yet. So.
Yeah, of course you don't know. You're part-time, aren't you? I've done
a special one on Monday. A special Monday.
You are the Josh Davison of the debrief, you are.
Yeah, mate. Some of our figures on the debrief is just unreal. Mate, anyway,
I've seen your figure, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's all these Easter eggs. I still got to get through for a few. And the kids ain't eating theirs, so I've got to get through theirs as well.
Oh.
That's a waste, otherwise, isn't it? There's kids starving. Kids starving around the world, which
you
I hate.
Might as well take it. Yeah, I've always said it. I hate that.
By the way. Well, anyway, thanks to Gary Fletcher and the boys at Season Master for sponsoring this year's podcast. We are coming to the end of that sponsorship very soon at the end of the season. So if you do want to sponsor the podcast.
Go on. If get you the want... plug in. Go on, boy.
Well, it's coming to an end. We've only got 4 games left and Gary knows it's the end. So
I don't think anyone else could afford Gary.
Gary can negotiate a new deal if he likes.
He's got deep pockets. You need deep pockets.
If you want to sponsor the podcast, we are the number one AFC Women podcast. If you want any more information, please contact us. Our figures are through the roof. We are TalkSport affiliated.
Come with a steak meal, doesn't it?
If you want to sponsor the debrief, get in contact with that as well. Someone said the other day, 15% of season ticket holders listen to the debrief. That's how good.
Oh, that is fantastic stats from you.
Yep, number one host.
Bring it out.
What's it, an SJA award next year, hopefully. But yeah, get in
John's
contact.
Ambulance.
Yeah. yeah, get in contact with us. But yeah, that's me and Danny Dunn for another week. We'll see you next week on the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast. The one was at a dream. Danny, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Come on, you dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.